Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome into some between game coverage here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons. Red Sox coming off a thrilling 5-4 walk-off win. Willy Abreu has a walk-off single off the Green Monster. This is a game the Red Sox were down 4-2 in the ninth inning. Ryan Helsley's on the mound, two-time All-Star, one of the best relief pitchers in baseball, as Joe Weil just told you in the Red Sox post-game show. And what does he proceed to do? Walk four Red Sox batters in that inning. It was really an amazing inning. I mean, Trevor Story walks, Abreu pinch hits, four-pitch walk. Christian Campbell had a hard lineout. Romy Gonzalez gets an RBI double, cuts the lead to 4-3. Then Connor Wong, another walk, the third one of the inning. After a Jarren Duran strikeout, Rafael Devers walks to tie the game at four, the fourth walk of the inning, as I said. Aroldis Chapman with a scoreless top of the 10th. And then in the bottom of the 10th, obviously you have that ghost runner rule starting at second base. In addition to that, Tristan Casas was intentionally walked. And then Abreu had the walk-off single off the monster. Key win for the Red Sox, a game that goes 10 innings, first game of a doubleheader where their starting pitcher only goes 4 2/3. So important to get that win. Also, their second series win in a row. Of course, they lost that first series of the year to the Texas Rangers. Then they took 2 out of 3 from the Baltimore Orioles. Now they've already taken the first two of this series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Game two is at 7:10 tonight, but we'll get you started at 6:10 with Joe Weil, pregame extraordinaire, on pregame coverage from Fenway Park. As I said, I'm John Lyons. We'll take your call, 617-779-7937, and text Red Sox. You want to talk some Patriots or Celtics or Bruins as well, that's fine. We are starting Red Sox here, and I'm joined by a very special guest, the one and only Tom Carroll. Tom, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. That was awesome today at Fenway.
It really was.
What a treat. You get more tonight. Doubleheader.
And a little, you know, inside radio story. When I was planning for this show, I was initially expecting to go on at 4:30. And I was like, I'll have Tom Carroll on at 5:20. It'll be a great segment. Maybe do a little segment with Joe Weil at the end of the show to cross over. And then I talked to Tom. I said, hey, you know, you feel like coming in studio? Maybe we'll do 5 o'clock and 5:20. So then I'm like, all right, I'll go on at 4:30. I'll have Tom on for a segment or two. Then you'll wrap up the show from there. And here we are. It's 5:31, Tom. We're just getting started because of the 10 innings.
I'll take it, though. After a W, who cares?
Yeah, and that's what I said to you off air. I was like, man, if we were doing this after a loss, it would kind of suck.
Yeah, but I might have left.
Yeah, that's true. Then I would have been on my own no matter what, either way. But, Tom, you were at Fenway for opening day.
Yes.
And I think this is, obviously, look, they get to win in extra innings today, and that's great in itself, but it was a really nice follow-up to me to opening day because, as I said, they lose that first series of the year to Texas, but then they come back against a Baltimore team that, by all expectations, should be really good once again. You win that series. Crochet has that electric 8-inning outing earlier in the week. You come back 13-9 win on opening day. Crazy, crazy game. You have the rain out yesterday, so to follow that up with not just the win today, but your second series win of the year, it's a lot of positive momentum for the Red Sox to build on.
It's a ton. And, you know, I'm going to probably sound like a broken record for everyone in this market right now, But Christian Campbell, man, I mean, he had an opportunity at the end of the game there to knock in the winning run, and it didn't happen. And driving in to come in studio, I was almost surprised that he didn't drive it in. Like, I expected him at this point to be able to meet the moment, if you will, right? Because he's been that good. He's been that confident. And the Sox got an absolute steal locking him up to an 8-year deal at the age that he's at and the ceiling that he has shown. And I know that I'm probably short sample size, recency bias, right? But I don't know, man. I mean, this kid looks legit. The positional flexibility, having him as your everyday second baseman, and now he's going to be able to play some center field for you too. I just think that was an absolute home run of a signing. And I think that him plus Crochet having the start that he finally had, that's the type of momentum that's going to really catapult a clubhouse to continue to have a really nice start here to the season.
And you mentioned that he could play a little bit of outfield. And Frank, I mean, he's going to be mostly a second baseman, but Cora has said there are instances where he will play.
He said he's going to play outfield.
And the Red Sox outfield situation, I think, is, and I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it may be the best or one of the best outfield situations in the majors, if you think about it, because right now, Willy Abreu, and I don't expect him to keep this up, but he's playing like a top five player in baseball. And look, he's not going to stay that way, I don't think. But he still won a gold glove last year. He's a really good player. Jarren Duran, ESPN had him ranked, I think, the 26th or 30th best player in baseball. He's probably a top 25 player in baseball. You have Roman Anthony waiting in the wings, right? You have Sidon Raffaello, who's at least a solid major leaguer. I mean, that's a really good situation for the Red Sox to have in the outfield. And even as the month of April goes on, I think things will even out. Abreu will come down to earth a little. Again, today he comes in, he pinch hits, he draws a walk in the ninth, and then he has the walk-off hit in the tenth.
He's been an absolute revelation, and I should have included him in my Campbell Crochet thing there. Abreu has been awesome, and I'm sure for the guys around the team to see a guy like Abreu have the start to the season that he had, given the spring that he had, where he was kind of second class, right, compared to the storylines and everything he was doing was kind of in that second field, right? He's been awesome. So
Abreu's been their best player.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, really. And this is a team with Rafael Devers, who don't look now. What does he have? 6 hits in his last 4 games. Like, he's come on strong.
He's on fire.
Has Jarren Duran. Has legit, you know, Alex Bregman. Abreu's been their best player.
It's been a ton of fun to watch, man. And tonight should be fun. I mean, if they lose tonight, right, it's kind of hard to... just had that high from winning this game and going into extra. So if they lose tonight, I wouldn't go crazy, right? Like, they've already won the series against the Cardinals here. And then you got Crochet Day tomorrow on Monday. So the Sox, look at that, man. Out of nowhere, they're back at the top of the pecking order here in Boston.
Who would have thought that spending money and trading for good players would get you a good baseball team? And also the win today brings the Red Sox to 5-4, which, again, they've now won four in a row, that Baltimore series into the St. Louis series. So they're playing really good baseball. And it feels like, Tom, that some of the mistakes that really hurt them the last couple of years, whether it was errors, bad base running, not getting timely hits, they've avoided those. Now, they had some issues with the timely hits in the Texas series, but since then, it feels like they've avoided so far a lot of those frustrating mistakes that cost them games over the last couple seasons.
And the point to be made there is so far, right? I do want to make sure that we are caveating everything with short sample size, and, you know, let's see if they can keep this going here, right? But it really feels like that the energy of the team is a lot like what we saw in the middle of last year, where they were really making that playoff push, and it feels like Cora is pushing all the right buttons, and they made the proper offseason signings to get the guys in the locker room that are going to help keep that momentum going that they sort of lost in the middle of last year.
Yeah, this is a team that was 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break, and things just kind of fell apart from there. And it feels like, again, early on, they have the talent to maybe sustain that longer this year. You mentioned Cora pushing the right buttons. That's what one of our callers wants to talk about. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Wally in Fall River. Wants to talk some Red Sox, some Alex Cora. Wally, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I mean, you have to give the Kerr a lot of credit. A lot of interchangeable parts on this team. They remind me a lot of the Dodgers. You can move guys around and you don't lose anything. But I wouldn't put Campbell in the outfield. It's too valuable at second base. You don't want to see this guy in center field or left or right diving for a ball and dislocating his shoulder or something worse and be out too much. We've got plenty of outfields. We don't need him in the outfield. But one main thing I want to mention, too, they haven't been playing lousy at home the last couple of years. I think this team's going to be about 15 games at least over 500 at home. They, you know, they've got the chemistry. They get the makeup so far so good. So it seems that they dug themselves out of this little hole they saw at the start of the season. But we'll just have to wait and see. One other thing, I think Craig Breslow, if they need anything at the deadline, he's going to go out and get it.
Wally, thanks for the call. Tom, you had a thought on that.
Yeah, so Wally mentioned Cora pressing all the right buttons and then said that Campbell shouldn't be playing any outfield. But what he said yesterday made sense to me. He wants to make sure that David Hamilton is staying in the rotation at second, and they're making sure that they get his legs in the lineup with consistency and that he's staying engaged with the season. And the beauty of having Campbell and why you extend him and why you make him a part of your opening day roster is because he has the positional flexibility to go out and be an effective outfielder. So I agree there is some risk having him out there, but you can't really operate life that way. Like, the guy can play the outfield. He's good at the outfield. Go out there and play, and then you can get Hamilton in there at second.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, if we're being fair, like, we would project Christian Campbell to be a better player than David Hamilton, but David Hamilton on the base paths, that's a weapon. We're talking a guy with over 30 stolen bases last year. He had his first one today. So that's a guy that you want to find a way, kind of like Cora said, to keep engaged, keep fresh, if you will, get him in the lineup here and there. I understand Wally's concern, though, right? Because Christian Campbell, he is a rookie. He's been great so far, but he's just getting used to playing second base in the big leagues. I don't want to move him around too much. So
once a week, though, I don't
even
think that's anything.
I'm not like upset about it, but I'm a little apprehensive, right, about moving. Just because, again, he's been so good, and to Wally's point, like, their middle infield defense has been much better than what we've seen in the last couple of years. That killed them last year, and obviously the Story injury played into that, but it killed them last year, killed them the year before, killed them the year before that. So they finally have, in Story and Campbell, a couple guys you can depend on. And I'm not saying Hamilton you can't depend on, but I kind of want to keep him there as much as I can. So I'm not against the experiment, just a little apprehensive.
No, I get it. I just feel like I'm okay trusting Cora at this point. And if that's what he
I guess
feels
he's
like is going
leeway.
To
yeah.
push the right buttons and make sure certain guys are engaged and keep the momentum going. I mean, this is a marathon, right? So once every 7 days, getting Campbell out in the outfield, I'm okay with it if Cora thinks that that's what they should do. And look, if it doesn't work, he'll just keep him at second every day. It's kind of a good problem to have.
Yeah, and at some point, Roman Anthony's going to come up and play,
right,
and that's going to have an effect on what they do. And Wally said it, right? They have a lot of outfielders, a lot of outfield prospects, so that's going to affect it at that point. Exciting day at Fenway today, but we have to talk about both sides of it. One little concern, Garrett Whitlock did not look good today. Gave up those two runs. I don't think that's going to be a long-term thing for him, but just that was a little bit of a concerning outing from him today. Again, as he's working his way back from injury last year.
Yeah, the pitching has been up and down. Like, if you want to point to one thing so far this season that has been an issue outside of Devers' slow start is the pitching, right? I mean, they almost blew it on opening day. And I know almost in quotes there, but it got hairy there a little bit at the end of opening day there. So yeah, it's something to keep an eye on, but if this offense is going to keep hitting the way it is, I mean, that's why, like we've talked about, this is why you bring in the talent. This is why. You
and I think to the point we talked about earlier, as the trade deadline approaches, that's something, you know, that if they need to add, they can add. Tom Carroll, I know you were supposed to be here longer. I mean, we ended up with this abbreviated segment here, but it was a pleasure having you on, having you in here with me. Scott and Nick, I see you lined up on the phone lines. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some more coverage before pregame coverage of the Red Sox second game of the doubleheader today. We'll be right back.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Red Sox with a 5-4 win in Game 1 of today's doubleheader. Game 2, first pitch 7:10, pregame show with Joe Weil at 6:10. So coming right up, actually, after this show is done. Again, I'm John Lyons, and our good friend Tom Carroll said, you know what, John? I'll stick around for 5 or 6 more minutes. I also am going to talk to Joe Weil before this segment is done. But we got a couple callers on the line here I want to get right to. Let's start Scott in Rhode Island. Scott, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, guys. First of all, I followed your boy TC Fresh on Twitter and his health journey for quite some time. I think it's super inspirational for everybody. It seems like it's going viral on the internet right now, and I think that that's a great story that everyone should follow.
Thank you, Scott.
My main point is I'd love to get a temperature check on how you guys feel about the state of Boston sports, because for a long time it felt like we were in a rut across the board, outside of the Celtics, and even with the Celtics before that recent championship. You look at it now, there seems to be a bit of a spark, and the Red Sox seem to be providing a little bit of that spark. The Bruins, I don't know what they're doing or what they're going to do, but every other team seems to be getting back on track. So I'd love to understand what you guys think of the state of Boston sports and where we're going to be in the next 3 to 5 years.
It's a great question, Scott, and I would say probably the best spot since pre-COVID, because there's been some good years. Like the Red Sox went to the ALCS in 2021. The Bruins had that record-setting regular season in 2023. Of course, in between, the Celtics went to the NBA Finals in 2022. But if you look at it as a whole, and maybe you could say 2021 because the Patriots made the playoffs too, but the Celtics are defending champs and one of the favorites to win it again. The Patriots look like they're finally back on the right track.
Yep.
The Red Sox look like they're at least an AL East contender, if not a contender to win the AL pennant, and the Bruins stink. But, you know, you have two teams that are legitimate, I think, one team that's a favorite, another one that's a contender, another one building on the right track. So maybe the best since pre-COVID. I would definitely say the best since 2021 on the whole.
It's definitely the best since pre-COVID. I think that's a good call. It's amazing how in like 6 weeks it has flipped, right? Because until they hired Vrabel and got everything right with the coaching staff down in Foxborough, the Patriots were an absolute mess. And now they have adults in the room running that operation and having the offseason they've had. Now we feel really good about the Patriots. And then it has you kind of looking at that schedule next year and going, okay, well, seven wins, eight wins. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Patriots feel like they're in a good spot. Red Sox, same deal. We were all really down on the Red Sox after missing the postseason again after last season. And then they had this offseason. And really the icing on the cake was the Bregman signing. Everyone felt good about the Crochet thing, but it still felt like they were a move away from really being like, okay, they're going to matter again here. Then they signed Bregman. then they call up Campbell and we all get excited about that. And now here we go. We're off and running. I'm seeing tweets from people saying, oh, the Red Sox World Series odds have gone from this to this since opening day. People are probably, you know, above their skis on that a little bit. But again, in 6 weeks' time, we've gone from two of the four teams not even coming close to sniffing the championship excitement type vibe to now, you know, dudes are out here wanting to get on season ticket waiting lists. It's awesome.
Let's go back to the phones. Nick in Minnesota wants to talk about this Red Sox comeback. And Nick, welcome in.
Hey, how are you guys this early evening?
Not bad. What do you got for us?
So I was just going to quickly say I thought it was a really nice comeback win today for the first game of the day, especially against a really good relief pitcher. And then my question for you guys is, with how inconsistent and hot and cold the offense has been so far to at least start the season, and with how rough the starting pitching has been the first week of the season, how concerned do you think Red Sox fans should be right now?
I love it. Thanks for the call. That is a Red Sox fan right there. They win two in a row, including a walk-off, and he asks,
he's like, wait, am I supposed to be mad?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think they do need more.
We talked about it. They should be a little bit more concerned.
And they need more out of their starting rotation, right? Newcomb today, only 4 2/3. They've only got, what, two quality starts so far this year, one of them being Crochet's gem in Baltimore the other night. But they need their starters to go deeper into ball games. They had an issue last year. They had the 10th most bullpen innings thrown and the 24th bullpen ERA. I don't think that was a coincidence, Tom.
No, it wasn't. And I think once we see Crochet kind of have a few weeks here of having those types of starts like he had in Baltimore, I think everyone's going to start to feel a lot better about the pitching staff. I also think once we get a couple of quality starts in from Walker Buehler, we're going to feel a lot more comfortable. Now, hopefully that can happen. I think that what we've seen here early in the season, I'm not expecting that to carry the whole season for him. I just think he's a better player than that. So there's concern, no doubt.
And that's an interesting question about Buehler, because are you getting the Buehler that during the regular season last year when he came back had an ERA hovering around 5 most of the time, or you're getting the Buehler that looked a lot better in the postseason, made the final out of the World Series, and so far they've gotten that guy who didn't look as good early on. But to your point, he's talented enough, he's a multi-time champion. As long as he's back to full health, I would expect that they'll get something closer to that playoff Buehler that we saw with the Dodgers in October.
Yeah, and if you're not getting playoff Buehler all the time, but if you're getting something halfway in between the 5+ ERA Buehler and postseason Buehler, then you're feeling probably pretty good about him as your number two starter.
Yeah, I would think so. I think it's probably going to be Houck, and then Buehler can be your 3, and then I think you're in really good shape. Like, if you have Crochet, and he's not going to throw 8 innings every time, but pitching like he did in Baltimore the other night, how can pitch like he did the first half of last year or close to it, and then Buehler is a reasonable 3, then I think you're in good shape. But in fairness, right, you got to see how is Houck going to do in his second season pitching starter, because last year looked great the first half of the year. In May, I thought he was going to Cy Young.
Yeah, and then his arm kind of fell
off. And then
off,
he tailed off. So can he build off that? Can Crochet, he threw 146 innings last year. Can he throw 175, right? So I think to the caller's point, as excited as we are, and we are excited, and I think the ALCS is in play. I said that the day they signed Alex Bregman. But we got to keep our eyes on this pitching staff for sure.
No, 100%, man. And look, if they're going to continue to hit the way that they've hit the last week, we're all going to be feeling a lot better about this team moving forward, even more so than we are right now, regardless of what the starting staff
29
like
runs
here
in their last four games,
crazy.
I think it is. Yeah.
I think the Crochet stuff is the most interesting thing for us to continue to monitor. Like you mentioned, the innings thing has not been something that he's shown in his career that he can throw a million innings in a season and be okay. Like the other night when he went 8 innings, that was the first time in his career he had thrown 8 innings. So he profiles like a horse, right? You look at the guy, his stuff looks horsey. So let's see if they can ride him like the horse that he should be and that they're paying him to be this season. That's kind of the thing I'm most interested in over the next 6 weeks or so.
His stuff looks horsey.
Horsey.
That's good. Tom Carroll, I appreciate you sticking around this long. And
thanks,
as we said earlier, this was kind of a seat of the pants mishmash thing where I thought I was going to be going on at 4:30. You're going to come in at 5. Red Sox go into extra innings, get the win. So you had to adjust your schedule a little bit. So I appreciate it. Very much so, Tom. I do have to check in with Joe Weil at Fenway Park in just a few minutes. But thanks for joining me, Tom. This was great.
Of course, man. We'll happy to hop on. And, yeah, anytime you need me, give me a call. I'm here.
For sure. And by the way, give us 30 seconds on, you know, you're in the New York Post this week.
That's right. Yeah, so the New York Post picked up my story. I've been on the air here a couple times here talking about it, but wrote an essay about losing a bunch of weight, eating Chick-fil-A every day to the tune of 132 pounds. And it's been cool to see that media attention and have these outlets pick it up. But the New York Post picked up the story today and posted an article. And look, if people want to keep talking to me about it and want to keep covering the story, I'm happy to talk about it. So, and you know, like our caller Scott said earlier, I guess he's been following me on social media about it. So it's been really cool to help people kind of get on their health journey and, you know, follow that along. And I'm happy to keep talking with people about it and be there for them if they need me.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. I think it's an incredible story. And good news for you, you're a member of the media, which means by definition, you like to talk. So you'd be happy to share more and more about it. Tom, thanks again. Really
thanks,
appreciate
John.
It. Awesome. That was Tom Carroll. You can find him on social media, your boy TC Fresh, right? Yeah, Tommy Freeze Pops, they call him sometimes. But yeah, Tom Carroll, always a pleasure working with him. Red Sox win 5-4 today. I think the key story of this game is the way in the ninth inning, and I'm going to talk to Joe Weil in just a minute or two from Fenway Park. He was there for this game. But in the ninth inning, the way the Red Sox were able to work Ryan Helsley. I mean, four walks in that inning. This is a guy that last year, all year, walked 23 guys. They got him for four in that inning. The patience they showed at the plate, and they did get timely hitting today. They got the Romy Gonzalez RBI double in the ninth inning. Then, of course, they had Devers get the walk to tie the game, and then timely hitting again, Willie Abreu to take the 5-4 win for the Red Sox today. So great win for the Red Sox today. I mean, I had a plan to come on here and talk some Patriots, some Celtics, some Red Sox. Alex Ovechkin broke Wayne Gretzky's goal record today. I haven't gotten to any of that stuff because I've been so busy talking about how exciting this Red Sox game was, and deservedly so. And here to help me do that now, too, is Joe Weil of WEEI, pregame and postgame host. You're going to hear him on the pregame show coming up in about 15 minutes, but he's at the ballpark now. Joe, we got you. Welcome in.
Thank you so much, John. And let's let the Patriots have a day off, and we can focus on Red Sox, because this was an awesome win. I mean, to do it against Ryan Helsley, to get the runs in the ninth inning, and you know, you wonder how much the weather played a role in his lack of control. He walks four in the ninth inning, and I looked it up. He hadn't allowed an earned run over his last 20 appearances as well. I mean, he was arguably the best relief pitcher in the National League last year. So this was an awesome win, and Willie Abreu has established himself, at least through these first nine games, as the MVP of this team, in my opinion. But on top of that, maybe co-MVP alongside Garrett Crochet. But on top of that, one of the best hitters right now in this sport. And he's been so much fun to watch. The bench players, Rob Refsnyder, Romy Gonzalez, both played factors in this too, which was awesome because they don't get a whole lot of playing time. And Alex Cora has talked about a lot just how difficult it is right now to find spots for them to get into games. But the doubleheader aspect of today, I think, played a role in them getting some run, and they deliver. This was really fun.
So, Joe, I know a lot of times on the pregame show and, of course, the postgame show, you get into the nitty-gritty and how the game is won and lost, and you do a terrific job of it. And we've talked a lot about that already today. I did, at least with Tom Carroll. So I want to ask you a little bit of a different question, right? So these first two home games, you have opening day the other day, your vibe, whatever you want to call it, attitude around this Red Sox team is probably the best it's been since before COVID. I mean, are you getting that sense as well, especially being down there at the ballpark?
Yeah, without a doubt. And having covered the team the last couple of years, it just felt like when they were good, they were exceeding the expectations of their roster and the talent that was on those rosters, thinking about 23 and 24. This year it's different because you add somebody like Alex Bregman into this lineup, a guy that's been there, done that, won two World Series, has made the All-Star team a couple times, and he allows the dynamic of just more contact in the lineup than they had last year. But then you mix in a healthy Trevor Story. These younger guys, too, John, that are just have more experience under their belt, like Willie Abreu, Tristan Casas, and then you have this kid in Christian Campbell who's been electric to just start off his major league career. And I think the mix is really good. These guys are getting along very well, and I just think the fact that you have guys in the clubhouse now that have been there and done that and they've had that experience, it definitely helps. But on top of that too, John, because this guy doesn't have a ton of experience, quote unquote, but like getting Garrett Crochet locked up to a long-term extension and then for him to go out there in his first start, you know, after having signed the extension and just completely shove against the Orioles, 8 innings of shutout baseball. That set the tone, I think, for this team, and it got them back on track. And, you know, now they've won 4 straight. And I just look at the rest of this division. The Yankees lost today, but they have played pretty well to start this season. I still think the Red Sox have a more balanced roster. Not saying it's perfect, but I think it's a better roster than the Yankees. The Orioles are now 4-6. The Blue Jays just got swept by the Mets, so even though they started off 5-2, they're now 5-5, and they'll come to Fenway here starting tomorrow. So those teams, the Rays are, to me, a very mid team. So I just feel like this group, with who they have, is one that can accomplish some big things this year, and they're starting to show it.
You mentioned Willie Abreu being the team MVP so far in your first answer, and obviously he has a walk today, then the walk-off hit off the wall. This dude's batting over 500, Joe Weil. I mean, what is, in your view, like, what's this guy's ceiling, right? Because right now he's playing like a top-five player in baseball, and I don't know if that's necessarily his ceiling, but he did win a Gold Glove last year. I mean, is this a guy that you could look at and say could be one of their best players all season?
Yeah, I think you can. If you look up his Baseball Savant page, it is all red. I mean, it's ridiculous for those that are into that type of stuff. I mean, it's been remarkable what he's done this year. And the ceiling question is a super interesting one. It was actually one I talked to Rob Bradford about recently in one of my recent pregames, because, you know, I thought of him as a Venezuelan Trot Nixon. Like, and Trot Nixon was a great player. A great player that was a part of that 04 team and had some really good seasons, but he wasn't an all-star player. And I thought Willier was just a solid piece. And I was always against trading him. I never liked that idea. Never once in the offseason. I always thought you're just taking away from a strength and a guy that you know is good in the major leagues already. But I do think he's showing us right now that there's more there. This guy could be a multiple-time all-star. I think that final piece is just hitting left-handed pitching, which Alex Cora talked about during this homestand, just him being a little bit more comfortable, allowing him, you know, in a game where he's starting to stay in there against the left-handed pitcher, which at times last year they would take him out and bring in a Rob Refsnyder. I think we'll see less of that this year, and the start that he's gotten off to has just been incredible, and I think we do have to change our viewpoint of who this guy could be, because the ceiling is higher than I think we all thought.
He is Joe Weil. You're going to catch him with Red Sox pregame coverage coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes. Joe, thank you for checking in from the ballpark. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, John.
Awesome. I am John Lyons, wrapping up here on WEEI before we get into pregame coverage for Game 2. Thank you for listening to the abbreviated version of the John Lyons Show. Thank you to Tom Crisafulli for producing. Always does a great job. Thank you to Zach Coe for helping us out as well. And huge thank you to Tom Carroll for adjusting his schedule to spend a little extra time with us with the 10-inning game today. Red Sox win 5-4 Game 1. Let's hope for another win in Game 2. Pregame coverage is coming right up next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.